I wonder what words you would use to describe the times in which we live. If you just had to pick one word, I wonder what it would be. And I've listened to people talking about it recently, and they're using words like confusing, fearful, disorientated. And it's those sort of words, that disorientation, not sure, uncertainty, confusion, fearfulness. We're coming out of the pandemic. We're definitely not out of it yet, but we're coming out of it. But what does that mean? What does this new normal look like? Even here within the building, we're struggling to work out what that means. And in lots of ways, we're struggling with coming out of the pandemic. And it creates more confusion for us. The economic chaos that's going on around us as prices seem to be rocketing and incomes falling as shortages develop. Things that we thought we would never see seems to be happening all around us. The horror, the absolute horror and brutality of war has just been thrust upon us in ways that we could never have foreseen. In Ukraine and in so many other forgotten places around the world, where war has been just grinding on for years. Our own little province, as we come to vote in elections this week, and all of the uncertainty and the confusion around that, and we struggle with it. It's important that we do vote. It's important that as Christian people we vote for hope. We vote for future. I'm not going to tell you how to vote, but those are the things that as Christian people we should be looking for. Hope, honesty, integrity, a desire for the common good. And if all those big headline things weren't enough, all the things that are going on in our own lives just compound that disorientation, that confusion, that fear. And so what do we do with this toxic cocktail of emotions? What do we do with it? We can try, as we so often do, just to forget it. Put it to the back of our heads. Turn the TV off so we don't have to see all that stuff around us. We live in our own little bubble, and we can try to live in that bubble, but very soon it bursts, and we're confronted with realities. What do we do with that cocktail of emotions that we're living in? As Jesus speaks to his disciples in this John chapter 14 that May read so beautifully earlier on, Jesus speaks to his disciples, and there are similar things going on in their heads and their hearts. They're fearful. They're possibly panicking because of everything that's going on in them and around them. One of their number has suddenly been seen to be a traitor. One of their number, one of this close group of disciples, one of these closest friends, has betrayed Jesus. What does that do to your head? What does it do to your heart when something like that happens? Jesus has just told them again that he will be leaving them. The one who has led them and guided them, taught them, shepherded them over these past 3 years, Jesus has now said, well, the time has finally come, I'm leaving. And they're distraught. Jesus even looks at Peter, the stalwart amongst the disciples, and said, Peter, you're going to deny me 3 times. And there's horror. They're aghast. How could you even think such a thing? How could you even contemplate that? There's confusion, there's fear, there's disorientation, there's everything that we feel. And so what does Jesus do about it? Jesus speaks into that situation. And he speaks these remarkable words. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, sometimes when we hear those words, we hear them as being quite arrogant and almost aggressive and exclusive. But it's interesting, when Jesus speaks those words, he doesn't speak them in some sort of hostile, argumentative setting where, let me tell you what the truth is here. I'm the one, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. They're not said in that aggressive nature. These words are spoken in love to his closest friends, to his disciples. This chapter starts with those words, do not let your hearts be troubled. Boy, did the disciples need to hear that. With all of that panic, with all of that hurt, with all of that confusion going on in their lives, they need to hear somebody saying, don't let your hearts be troubled. Now, if you're anything like me, you need to hear that time and time and time again. Because there's something in me that looks at all that's going on around, that looks at my own life, and my heart's just troubled. And so I need to hear Jesus say, don't let your heart be troubled. Is Jesus saying, none of this is real, none of this is going to have any impact on you? No, he's not. Jesus knows what his disciples will go through. He knows that Judas has betrayed him. He knows that Peter will deny him. He knows that the other disciples will slink away into the shadows over those next days. He knows what's going to go on. He's not saying, none of this is real, none of this is going to happen. He's saying, in the midst of this, where you are, do not let your hearts be troubled. But how do we stop our hearts being troubled? It's easy to say, don't let your hearts be troubled. Jesus simply goes on to say, you trust in God, trust also in me. And here's the very heart of this passage. The very heart of this passage is moving from being troubled to trust. And that's where you and I need to move from. From being troubled to trusting. The circumstances may not change. But the way we live in those circumstances changes. Because there's no longer a heart troubling, it's a trusting. It's interesting, Jesus doesn't say, don't let your hearts be troubled because I've left you a whole new religious system. I've left you rules to follow. I've left you boxes to tick. I've left you philosophical ideas that you can mull over and think about and try to aspire to. Jesus doesn't say any of that. He points to himself. Your heart's troubled. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Our comfort, our reassurance, our hope are in Jesus Christ and in him alone. That's why I love this new song we're going to sing in a few moments' time. We're going to sing that song that says, hope has a name. His name is Jesus. That's where we find our hope. He's not sending us out to some sort of self-help session where we desperately try to keep all the rules, where we think great thoughts. Nothing that there's nothing wrong with trying to keep rules or thinking great thoughts, but neither of them bring us comfort. In fact, they may bring us more uncertainty and more pain because we're never sure, have we done enough? Have we kept the rules enough? Have we got above the pass mark in keeping those rules? How do we know we've got there? We never know. How do we know if we're thinking along the right lines if all we have to do is to think things out? Jesus says no. It's not about religious systems and tick boxes. It's not about philosophical ideas. It's about him. It's about Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. In a world which disorientates us, we turn to Jesus. In a world which says all roads lead to God, we turn to Jesus, the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. That's what we need when we're disorientated. We need a way. We need a path. The writer to the Hebrews simply says that Jesus has become that living way. When Jesus dies for us, he opens up that living way back to our Heavenly Father. Jesus is the way. We live in times that confuse us because we hear so many voices. Even just to take the example of our local elections here. How can so many people look at one situation and come up with so many different problems and solutions? If we listen to every voice that we hear, we get totally confused. And so Jesus says in the midst of this confusion, look, all these other things will fall into place, but I am the truth. Not a truth in the midst of all these other truth claims, but I am the truth. And so we find in Jesus that certainty that we need to begin to understand all the other things around us. When we're fearful, Jesus simply says, I am the life. Not life sort of bouncing along at the bottom of existence, but life in all of its fullness, life in abundance. The way, the truth, the life. And all of this I find comforting. And it's not just for these few short years that we are here, but for eternity. Jesus is unchanging. The way, the truth, and the life. But it doesn't just happen for us. It starts with trusting Jesus. You trust in God, trust also in me, says Jesus. Not simply knowing about him. It's not simply showing up on a Sunday. Trusting Jesus is about knowing what he has done for us on the cross. Knowing that when Jesus died on the cross, he paid the price for our sin. Knowing that when Jesus rose again from the grave, he proved that what he had done was fulfilled. That God's wrath was satisfied. Trusting in Jesus believes those things. And when we have that trust, then we can look forward with confidence. I love the end of Psalm 23, where the psalmist simply talks about living in the house of the Lord forever. Jesus says in this passage, I've gone and prepared a place for you. When I died on the cross, that place has been prepared for you. A place where you can live in the house of the Lord forever. Our comfort is in knowing Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. We don't need to look elsewhere, because in Jesus we have this. In our disorientation, our confusion, in our fear, for these things, we have Jesus. And so it brings us back to our little mission statement that appears in our bulletins and everything else we produce around here. What are we about? What do we want to be and to do? We want to know Christ and then lovingly to make him known. May God give us the grace to do both halves of our statement. Not only to know Christ and in him to find our comfort, our reassurance, our purpose, our way, but also to make him known. The one who is the way, the truth, and the life. Let's pray together. Father, thank you that you have not left us on our own to work our way out of our problems, to work our way out of our sinfulness, for we could never, ever do that. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you that you have given us your one and only Son, that through believing in him, we should not perish, but rather have eternal life. Lord, may this be our testimony, each one. So work in us by your Holy Spirit, we pray. And to you, Lord, be all praise and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.